All right. I'd like to introduce you guys to our speaker today. It's the man in pink back there, Paul Buice. Not afraid to wear pink, and I appreciate that. You guys, as we're doing this series, it's called the Big Deal Series, and we're talking about some things as Christians that are big deals. And we haven't just randomly picked people to come speak. The ones that we've asked, you've had Scott Tomlinson come, and he spoke on like the big deal about apologetics. And then Tony Cho came and spoke about the big deal on grace. And the reason those guys spoke on that is because to them, that's really the big deal in their life. That's something they're passionate about. And so we've asked Paul to come speak on prayer because he is a man of prayer. He is very much a man of prayer. And I won't say too much because I know he doesn't really like to be in the spotlight on what he does, but I know that he's a man of prayer. And Paul Buice is a guy that, and I've said this to him before, I look up to Paul in my life, and he's a man that I want to emulate in my life to be like him, because he's a man of prayer and he's a man of God. He loves his wife, he loves his kids, and I think it's a privilege that we have him come to speak to us today on prayer. And so I pray that you guys will listen and take in what he has to say on prayer. So Paul, come on up.
Thank you. How y'all doing? Y'all doing good? Awesome, awesome. My name is Paul Buice, you know that. I'm a banker. I'm not a pastor. I've never spoken in front of a big group like this, so I'm a little petrified. I'm used to like 10, 12 people. Y'all are bigger than that. But I do want to talk about something that I'm very passionate about. And that is prayer. Now, if you're not, why don't y'all turn your seats around so you don't wrench your back, or at least look at me. That would be great. Because, I mean, since I'm going to talk about prayer, I'm thinking the first thing I should do is pray. Somebody said that. So, but we're going to do prayer a little differently this time. Because in Matthew, it tells us that the eyes are the gateway to the heart. So when I pray, I want you to look at me. I want you to have your eyes open. I want you to look at me. Dear Father, thank you so much for these precious, precious young women and young men. Thank you, Lord, that they got up this morning, that they made it here, that they're here to hear from you, and that, Lord, some of them are dealing with stuff. Some of them are dealing with heavy stuff. And I ask, Father, that today, that the words of my mouth, that the meditation of my heart would be your heart for these guys. That you would love on them. That you would bless them. And Lord God, we ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus. I'm going to kick this thing the whole time. All right. In my quiet time this morning, I have a devotional that I go through. And some of y'all, Jesus calling. Anybody? Okay. It's a good one. July 5th, draw near to me with a thankful heart, aware that your cup is overflowing with blessings. Gratitude enables you to perceive me more clearly and to rejoice in our relationship. Nothing can separate you from my loving presence. That is the basis of your security. Whenever you start to feel anxious, remind yourself that your security rests in me alone, and I am totally trustworthy. Now, here's kind of the crazy part. You will never be in control of your life circumstances. You will never be in control of your life circumstances. But you can relax and trust in my control. Instead of striving for a predictable, safe lifestyle, seek to know me greater depth, greater breadth. I long to make your life a glorious adventure. Who wants an adventure? I think we all do. A glorious adventure, but you must stop clinging to your old ways. I am always doing something new within my beloved. That's you. Be on the lookout for all that I have prepared for you. Now, I didn't plan on doing that. When they asked me to speak, I actually, and I'll just confess this, I was going to do a game show. I was going to do Family Feud. I was going to do the girls against the guys. And, you know, I was going to ask you some questions. You were going to come up, and we were going to do the bah or the bing, you know. God had a different plan. So, the reason I love prayer is that prayer brings me close to the heart of God. And prayer reminds me just how much God loves me. Because he answers me. And he answers you. So, what is prayer? Oh, come on. What is prayer? Talking to God. Talking to God. So let me tell you what Webster says prayer is. Address a solemn request or expression of thanks to a deity or other object of worship. Sounds very, ugh. What prayer is not is it's not magic. It's not rubbing a genie lamp. It's not reading off of a list or simply asking for stuff. Prayer is communion with God. It's spending time with God. It's not a one-way communication. How many of you have, when you pray, you kind of sit there and talk the whole time? Do you ever give God a chance to talk? I mean, if you're talking to your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your parents and you're having a conversation and you're in relationship, you're talking and then you're listening. That's what prayer is. God really does talk to you. Now, how does he talk to you? In worship, he speaks to you. In his word, he speaks to you. In a friend who comes up to you. Let me tell you, walking in here today, I went to big church. I'm walking down, and a dear friend of mine, Jack Cooley, comes up to me, and he goes, Paul, I don't know why, but I'm supposed to come up and pray for you. And I was like, Jack, you don't realize that is so cool because I'm going in to talk to senior high. He goes, oh, but you've done that a lot. I've never done that. I've never been in front of senior high. I'm scared to death. So he prayed for me. That wasn't, yeah, Jack loves me, but that was God loving me. That was God answering my prayer. All right. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? Thing I write is, do you love me? If you truly love God, if you want to be in relationship with God, you need to talk to him. Now, how you talk to him, don't get all tied up in this, oh, most glorious, high, exalted one. No. I would say be respectful. Father. Abba. Some of you, my kids growing up, they call me Papa. You go to God and you call him Papa. That's intimate. That's precious. So, prayer builds our relationship with Jesus. Now, something that you need to hear today, I'm going to slide over here for a second. Something that you need to hear today is that God is full out, crazy, outrageously in love with you. It don't matter. It don't matter what you've done, what you're doing. God loves you. He loves you crazy. And the way he wants you to build that relationship is in prayer. You see, prayer is more for you than it is for God. God doesn't need your prayer. You need your prayer. Because when you pray, you get away from the stuff of life and you get into relationship with God. All right. Ephesians 3, 1 through 19, Paul basically prays that you may be able to understand and get it. What is the length, width, height, depth, and weight of God's love for you? Verse actually says the love of Christ for you, same thing. Some of you screw up. Guess what? I screw up. We all screw up. And what happens is the enemy really wants to tell you when you mess up, you can't pray. You can't go to God because you're not clean enough. That's a lie. That's exactly when you need to go to God. And you need to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. All right. Second thing I have, overcome temptation. Now, y'all going to have to talk to me here a little bit because, I mean, I'm seeing eyes, but you need to talk to me here. In Luke 22, we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus cries out to God, his Father, in prayer. So this is overcoming temptation. What's about to happen in Jesus' life?
Very bad things.
Thank you, Troy. Okay, the Garden of Gethsemane is just before Jesus is arrested and crucified. Okay? As Troy so aptly put it, very bad things. Now, let me tell you something, and I'm sorry, Troy, I got to do this. Troy's here for me. He's here praying for me through this time, as many of you are, but that blesses me. All right, Jesus has taken a time. He's in the garden, and he's praying to his Father, and he's saying, Father, I know what's about to happen. And if there's any way, wait a minute, that's my second question. What did Jesus ask for? What was Jesus asking for? Father, if there's any way, if there's any way you can take this cup from me. Why does Jesus want the cup to leave him? Because it's nasty. It is nasty. It is all the sin that you've ever committed or will commit. That includes Hitler, Saddam Hussein, you name it, all the bad people in the world. All of that sin was in this cup. And he had to drink it. He had to take it on himself. And guess what? In his humanness, he really didn't want to. But he did for us in obedience to God. What was God's answer? Now, this is a scholar answer. Scholar, somebody's got the answer. How did God answer him? He didn't. God never answered Jesus. Jesus asked the Father three times, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. Three times. Silence. Jesus was obedient to the cross for you and for me. So, here's my little tagline. Bring God into it, into the situation, before it's a situation. When you start feeling the sense that you want to look at something you shouldn't look at, do something you shouldn't do, be somewhere you shouldn't be, pray before it becomes a situation. And if you find yourself in the situation, pray. Get out of the situation. And if you've been in the situation and through the situation, pray and ask Father to forgive you and cleanse you. So the key there is to pray. Not my will, but your will. Okay, God gives us direction for our lives. So here, if you have pencil and paper and a little piece of paper in front of you, I want you to write down one thing. I'm going to give you about a minute. If God were here right now, right here, right now, and you could ask him one question about your future, what would you ask him? It's not a trick question. This is really for you. Is it, who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? Where am I going to work? Where am I going to go to college? You know, am I going to live from this illness I have? And, you know, whatever. One question. If God were here right now, what would you ask God? It can be a one-word answer. Okay, here's my point. So many times we feel like we have to think of a lot to pray about. God just wants to hear what's on your heart. What you wrote is what God's put on your heart right now. We'll come back to that.
We all have questions in our lives. Some of you are going to college. Some of you want to go to college. Some of you have the tremendous blessing of having multiple colleges to pick from. And you're like, where do I want to go? That's a question. Job. Some of you, you're going to graduate high school, you're going to get a job. Where do I work? Or you want a job this summer, where are you going to work? Some of you, I don't know, but some of you may be asking marriage questions or boyfriend, girlfriend questions or things like that. Those are the questions that you bring to God. So, when you have those questions, who do you want to get answers from? You want to get answers from God. Why? Why do you want to get answers from God? Because he loves you. He is crazy about you. And he knows everything. Everything that's going on in your life, but everything that's going on that's going to intersect your life. When I played football in high school, my senior year, I was going to VMI to play football on a scholarship. My senior year, my last game of the year. I did not know Jesus at this point, so let me just say that. My greatest love was hurting people. I was a defensive lineman, and I went up to my buddy, and I said, listen, I'm going to get thrown out of this game. And he goes, why? What are you going to get thrown out for? I said, I hate the quarterback. I'm just going to go up to him after the end of the play, and I'm just going to hit him, right cross, and I'm going to get thrown out. It's my last game. Why not? Okay. Well, what I didn't realize is that what God had in mind was after the first quarter, I went up to block a pass, came down flat-footed, fullback came right down on my knee and shattered my knee. I got carried off. I got taken out. And my buddy comes up to me and goes, I didn't think you meant to get taken out of the game like that. But God had a plan. And I see that now. So sometimes there are going to be things that happen to you in your life, struggles that you may be in right now that God's directing you in. So stay close to him. Okay, prayer releases God's power. Prayer releases God's power. John 14, truly, truly, that sounds cool, kind of, you know. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, Jesus talking, the works that I do, shall he do also. Okay, so if you're here right now, and you've come to the point where you have believed and you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's talking to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And gets better. And greater works than these shall he do because I go to the Father. So let me ask you a question. I am going to need answers. Tell me a miracle Jesus did. Heal the leper. Water to wine. Walked on water. Loaves and fishes. Raised the dead. Healed the blind. I could use that. What was that? Removed our sins. Came back to life. Jesus did a lot of miracles. This verse is telling you, let me read it again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go to the Father. Prayer. Praying to the Father. Praying to God brings your heart in line with God that he leads you to do things that you sit there and go, how in the world could that have happened? I don't know about you, but I've had instances where I'm praying and I'm thinking I'm doing all right, and God will say, you know, kind of lead me to, I need you to go talk to this person. And he doesn't say, I mean, I don't hear a voice, but I'm like, I'm looking at this guy, and God keeps point me to this guy. And so I go up and I'm like, hey, what's going on? How you doing? And the next thing I know, we're sharing about heart level things, and then I'm sharing the gospel with him. That's the power of God that's unleashed in prayer in you. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, here's the catch. Lord, I'd really love a Range Rover and a vacation home. See, that doesn't really work because it says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So prayer brings you in alignment with God's heart. All right, fifth, prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. So why do you need a weapon? I thought we were passive, kind, loving Christians. Why do we need weapons?
To defend ourselves.
Thank you, Troy. Yes, absolutely. And let me tell you who we're going to defend ourselves from. Ephesians chapter 6. Our struggle, your struggles, are not against flesh and blood. Now, what that does not mean zombies. What that means is that your enemy is not the guy who just talked bad about your mama or did something against you. Your battle is not with people, but against spiritual beings and forces in heavenly places. Spiritual beings and forces in heavenly places. This is very real. Each of you are in a battle, a spiritual battle. Now, Brazil's not back yet, right? Okay. Who here's been to Brazil on a mission trip? Nobody. Okay. So, huh? Okay. All right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, okay, so you know this to be true. I went down to Brazil on the first mission trip with the Smiths. And before we left, they took us into, I think it's Benavides, and at the mouth of the Amazon. And we got to walk around and just see the place a little bit. And our missionary took me and another adult and wanted us to see the shop that's down in the market. So we go into the shop, and it's got all kinds of exotic foods and meats, and everything's just hanging there, and it just doesn't look clean at all. But then there's this one shop over here, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, wow, that looks crazy. I said, what's that? Oh, that's the Black Magic shop. I'm like, really? They believe in that stuff? They said, oh, no, they don't only believe in it. It's very real here. They have these wooden bowls, about like that, that are on, and they're stacked to the ceiling, and people come and they buy these bowls. And then they get their child, usually when they're young, I don't know how young, but when they're young, and they cut their hand and they have them bleed into the bowl, and then they offer that up to an evil spirit to give them strength. Black magic is very real in Brazil. Now, I don't think we have that here. I haven't seen, I don't know, no, okay. The point is, and this is my point, we're in a battle, but we don't see the overt evil nature of Satan like they do in Brazil. Therefore, we tend to say it's not real. That's not real. That doesn't happen. That's just something somebody made up to scare us into. It's very real. And Satan wants you to believe it's not real. Because if you don't believe it's real, then you don't care about it. It's very real. Now, you can, all right, we're in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. You can try to ignore it, which is exactly what Satan wants you to do, or you can step into the battle. It's really not an option. You need to step into the battle. How do you step into the battle? First, you recognize there is a battle. How many of you have sat right there in your seat during church or up at wherever, and all of a sudden you're having thoughts that seem not normal for thoughts to have in church? You know, how many times do you sit there and things just come? I mean, getting here today for me was a battle. Because yesterday I had this whole panic thing about all these guys are going to do is laugh at me and go to sleep and, you know, leave while I'm talking and all. I mean, you know, but that's attack. That's the enemy trying to stop you from doing what the Lord wants you to do. So you're in a battle. First, recognize there is a battle. And then you read chapter 6 of Ephesians. Chapter 6 of Ephesians gives you the full armament of God. The weapon of God is in verse 18. And pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. What's your weapon? What's your missile? Prayer. Prayer is your active prayer in the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Prayer is an active weapon for you. All right, number 6. Revival. A God-sized change. That's what revival is, a God-sized change. So let me ask you this. Do you see evil in the world today? Do you see? Yeah, you do. Okay, what is it? ISIS. That's it? ISIS? We take out ISIS, we're done? How about pornography? Wow, silence. What about pornography? What about abortion? Yes. Racial tension. Racial tension. That's a biggie. Because believe it or not, the whites want to believe that it's all done. And it's not. There is racial tension, and we need to step up in that battleground. We being the church, the body of Christ. It's an excellent one. Another battleground. Yes. Atheism, yes, yes. Or even other wrong religions or other things that are pulling people away from the way. So there's a lot of evil going on in the world. Are you happy with it? Are you happy? Anybody ready to go travel in Jordan? Middle East? Where you're, you know, Jesus loves me t-shirt. I make a joke, but it's very real, and it's here too. So we are in desperate need, and prayer moves the heart of God. If you're not satisfied with what you see in your school, in your church, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your world, then be on your knees praying. You don't have to come to God with answers. Just ask God to step in. All right. Last one I have is, it's actually not the last one. Prayer matters. Okay, I got time. Prayer matters to God. Whether you see answers to prayer, if you commit to yourself to pray, not because I'm asking you to, but because you want to, because of these reasons we're talking about, because you want to love God more. You want to experience God's love more. Because you see that you are in a battle and that you need His help. Whether you see answers to prayer, and you will see answers to prayer. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. And whether you experience any benefit from prayer, and you will. God views prayer with tremendous value. God views prayer with tremendous value. In Hebrews 7, Jesus lives in the heavenlies to pray for you and for me every moment of every day. Jesus is in the heavenlies praying for you. That's how important it is. Now, real quick, at the very bottom of your page, I wrote down, I said, what stops me from praying? Now, I'm going to share with you three things for me that impact my life, that pull me away from praying. But this is something I would ask you to be real to yourself and say, okay, this guy's up here, he's talking about prayer, he's being a little animated, and now, okay, why aren't I praying? Why don't I pray? Okay, these are the ones I came up with. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy. Second one, distractions. No time. Those distractions can be great things. I tell you this, going on a mission trip, it is very hard to pray and to have that quiet time when you're on a mission trip. It's a great thing. You're doing a great thing. But great things can sometimes be distractions, just like bad things. Number one thing I can think of for a time destroyer is video games, online gaming. Hey, guess what? Skyrim? I love Skyrim. I think it's a fun game. And I can find myself, I start playing it, next thing I know, an hour and a half has gone by. And I'm like, whoa, what in the world happened? Y'all can relate to that. So, and then other is, I lose sight of who God is, how much he loves me, and how much I need him. I lose sight. You guys are at this wonderful age where, and you can call me a liar, but I think many of you will say, I'm good. Nothing's gonna hurt me. You know, I got my life before me. I got my health. I got my looks. I got my education. I've got a job. I got a car. Hey, I'm good. As you get older, you're going to find that it's not always all good. Sometimes you have struggles and you need prayer. And some of you right here, right now, need prayer. And I'm going to encourage you for two things. To try to set aside some time, a minute, 2 minutes, when you wake up. Not when you're horizontal. Wait till you get vertical to pray. But then also, pray with others. Y'all have shepherd groups, or you have guys that are buddies, girls that are buddies, and get together. Hey, can we get together and just pray? Because I'm really struggling with some things. All right, I'm going to tell you a story, and then I'm done. I came to Christ when I was 30 years old. Yeah, really old. And that was in 1990. Immediately started attending this church. Way back when, there was an Easter play that they did. It was called a cantata. Cantata is just a musical kind of play around Easter. And I met a guy. He was probably 15 years older than me. He's a great guy. We became become really strong friends. He was that guy that when I was struggling, I'd call. He was that guy that we would do projects together. He loved Jesus, and he encouraged me to love Jesus, and we just had a great, great bond. His name was J.R. And so in 2008, I go over to a friend's house for a party, and we show up. I drop my wife off. I park the car. I walk in. As I walk in, you know, everybody's looking at me kind of like you are, and I look at my wife, who's bawling, and I'm like, okay, who hit my wife? I mean, you know, what are y'all doing? And someone comes up, and they said, JR's dead. Just like that. I said, JR's dead. He was on a bike trip, had a heart attack, and was dead before he hit the ground. And I don't know if you've experienced death. It could be death of a family member. It could, Lord willing, it's not death of a parent, but death of a really close friend. This is the first time I had ever experienced death. And I thought, hey, I'm okay. I'm good. I got it. I'm good. I mean, you know, I cried. I spoke at his funeral, but I thought I was good. I wasn't good. I got really angry at God. And I started doing things I shouldn't do. And I just kind of like gave up. Now, I wore a really good mask. How you doing? Fine. How are you doing? Fine. Good. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You know, I mean, you know, it's kind of like that. I don't know if y'all have ever played that game. You know, you go up to somebody, how you doing? Fine. Good. I'm fine too. But, you know, we'll go somewhere else. I'm fine. Are you fine? Yeah, good. All right. Good. And then you get out the door and you say, okay, I got away. So, summer camp, I believe this was 2009, it might have been 2010. I was one of the people there, leaders. And we do this time alone with God. And I am up on the hill behind the gym next to the pool. Those who have been there, you know exactly where I was, up by the path and the trees. And I'm sitting there and I'm on my towel and I'm just laying there and I wake up. And so I decide I'm going to pray. And this is what I said. God, I need your help. That was it. And he responded, and he said, you are far from me. And I said, I know, Lord, I am. And I want to get back. And I'm not kidding. He said, you need to start at the beginning. I didn't know what that meant. I said, okay. That night, he revealed to me that when I came to Christ, I started at Bible Study Fellowship. It was a big Bible study that shared the gospel, that did Bible study. And that's where I accepted Christ. That was my beginning. Go back to the beginning. I'd gotten away from Bible study. I'd gotten away from small groups. I had gotten away from everybody except my mask. And I went back to Bible study. And God's been faithful. Why did God do that? Because he wants another member? He wants somebody paying money into the coffers? No. He did it because he loves me. And if all you can do is say, Father, help me. Father, help me. He knows your heart. What that's doing is making a step. You're making a step towards the Lord, and that's all he asks. Make a step. And then he'll come rushing and pick you up. I'm going to pray real quick right now. Can you bow your head? Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you for getting me through this. And Lord, I just thank you for these faces. I thank you, Lord, for these men and women that are in various different places in their walk. Some know you and love you. Some know you and are struggling. Some don't know you. But they're searching, Lord, and I pray that you'd meet them, Lord, where they're at. I pray that you would guide them. Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you so much for everybody here, and I pray that you would bless the words that you have sent through me and allow the words not from you to be forgotten. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right now, I'm going to lead you guys in a guided time of prayer. So what I'm going to do is, Bobby's just going to be strumming a little bit for us and playing, and I'm going to give you some things to pray about. And so as you start, and you'll kind of be praying to yourself, and then in a minute or so, I'll give you something else to pray for. So go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes and just come before God. And where I want to start is, I think there's a lot of us in this room right now that are feeling like, Lord, you don't really speak to me. You might speak to Paul. You might speak to those other really godly people, but not to me. And I love the verse in the Bible where the centurion came before to God and said, give me faith. He came to Jesus and he said, give me faith. So right now, I want you to pray to God and say, Lord, my faith is weak. Will you give me faith to know that you will speak to me right now? Pray to him and talk to God about that right now. one thing Paul talked about also was that there's a battle around us. And a lot of times we don't see it because we know it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual powers. And so this is a little bit of a scary prayer, but I want to ask you to pray to the Lord that he will begin to show you the battle that is around so that you'll know what's there. And as you pray and ask him to see that battle, but also pray and ask him that he will show you how to fight it, what you need, the different things that you specifically need, and the things that are in his word. Pray about that. Also mentioned that a prayer brings about revival and great things that we can never even think of or accomplish on our own. Now I want you to pray and ask God for a fresh fire in you that the Spirit brings in you for God's truth, for what he wants for your life. Pray that God will begin that in you and that you will sense that. I want you now to pray for something crazy. I want you to pray that God will spark a revival in your school next year. That is a God-sized thing, that there will be people that you never thought would come to know the Lord, and God will bring a desire in them, but we know that it starts with prayer. We need God's power and God's strength to be unleashed. If we right now all in this group are praying for a revival to happen in our schools, God wants to answer that prayer. Let's pray for that. Last thing for you to lift up to the Lord is just admit to him and give the things to him that are stopping you from praying. Give those to him and ask him for wisdom and strength to carry on and to be talking to him day in and day out in a daily process. Lord, I know that there's some in this room right now, God, that you are speaking to them, Lord, and the father of lies is coming in and bringing in lies. And Lord, I pray that those would be cast out, and God, that they would hear you as you have spoken to them. God, I pray that our prayers, that Jesus was going before us and interceding and hearing them for revival in our lives and revival in our schools, and God, for us to see the battle around us. Lord, we know that you want to answer us. God, I pray that we will be the student ministry, and we will fill the gap with prayer. Because God, we know that it is the most powerful thing that we can do. Lord, I just lift these students up, the leaders up here, the parents here. God, that we will be people of prayer. God, we want to see you work. We want to be part of your journey. And Lord, we thank you for loving us with that crazy love. Amen.